Good to go.
Welcome back. Episode, I don't know, 43, 44, 45. We're climbing, JR. We're climbing process, preparation, and performance. We continue tonight with another member from Kickapoo High School. I can't wait because it is a sport that we haven't tapped into yet, JR, on the podcast. You know, we've been all over the spectrum with sports. I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to getting some information. It'll be like that night that we were talking to, I'm going to call him Ian because he was on the podcast, but I probably shouldn't do that. I learned a lot about hockey that night from the NHL coach, but I'm going to learn a lot about cross country tonight. A lot of interesting stuff going on. Spring sports practice has started here in Missouri. Pretty awesome. Baseball is going, track is going, golf is going. I mean, there's so much stuff going on. This time of year is super, super busy. The state high school basketball tournaments are still going on. Congratulations to the Jeff City Jays. I think they just won a district title, didn't they, Jerry? Yeah, I think
we did.
And they beat that team that shall not be named, I think. I think that's the way we have to put it.
That's funny. We'll be down in Springfield Saturday. So we're playing Parkview. So we'll be down at Parkview. And I guess they just got their gym floor.
Yeah, it'll be their first home game of the year.
Yeah, really? The massive water leak they had. We got like the dime novel story. But you and I, Coach Duke, we had a big thing. We went to the Glacier Clinic in St. Louis, and we met podcast guest Frank Delano and took him out to eat at lunch. That was an absolutely hilarious 3 hours of my life.
It was. And the lunch was so good, he went back that night and got it again for dinner.
Yeah, that's the craziest thing. That dude ordered a platter full of barbecue, ate it with us, had dessert. You made him eat the chocolate cake. That was funny. And then he sent us a picture later and said, I doubled down and went back with a group of guys that night. And I'm like, Frank, man, I don't know. Your digestive system is on a whole other universe than mine. But no, it was fun. That was one of the neatest things to do was go down and meet him. Definitely we need to catch back up with him again one of these days.
We do. You might be going out there to help him with some baseball coming out because JR wrote a book. It is out now on Amazon. Tell him about it.
Yeah. So most people who listen, I mean, even our friends over in Singapore who are still listening, by the way, Coach Duke, which is a little bizarre. But yeah, my book is out. It's called Cover the Diamond, Defensively Dominate the High School Bunt Game. Told Coach Hauser I'd send him a signed copy. So it comes out in paperback March 15th. I got to give Chris Wyrick over to Elias a signed copy. I'll write him a note in there. I love Chris to death, even though they're a big rival of Jeff City. But enough about me. We've got another Kickapoo lunch table member here. He said he can't quite make it much anymore because he's over at he's teaching math and he has a hard time making it up there. But we have Coach Jeremy Goddard, who is the head track and head cross country coach for both the boys and girls. And he was telling us he had been at Kickapoo for 23 years. So, Coach, I want you to think back here. First question we've got for you, 23 years ago, which had been right after 2000, 2001, somewhere around in there. What was it like? What was it like walking in those doors?
It was pretty crazy. I went to Kickapoo. I was 93 grad from Kickapoo High School, and a lot different then than it was now. It's kind of funny. It's the same building. Our building, we're kind of well known for being a class six school with like maybe class one or two facilities. But our building was built, when our locker rooms were built, the only athletic event for girls was cheerleading. Our building is 52, I believe, years old. So our gym was built in 1971. There were no girls sports. There was cheerleading. Kickapoo was one level, the locker rooms have not been touched since then. Now, some of the teams have gone in and taken some of the lockers from general population and created a little basketball locker room, and they've created a fairly large football locker room out of it. But the rest of it is scavenged and pretty much the same. When opposing football teams come to play Kickapoo, they dress in our old auditorium because our girls' locker room isn't even big enough to put them in. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And then at some point along the way, and I don't know the timeline that well, but a second story was added to Kickapoo. Then since I've been there, we've added we kind of filled in this courtyard and made it our commons, which is new and really nice. And we've added a library and we added the science wing, but for the most part, locker room, all that stuff has been the same since our weight room was built when I was a sophomore. So that'd have been 1990-ish. It's pretty crazy.
That is, it's
I think
crazy.
when I graduated in 93, when I graduated, we were around 1450. 1500 students max. Basically the same building. We now have about 2100 students.
Holy cow.
So.
So you go to Kickapoo, you come back, but why cross country, why track? What drove you to that? Was that something you were involved in high school, college? Was that something that you're, hey, there's a spot open because we're growing so much, I need to get in there? Obviously, you've grown to love it because you're doing
Right.
it. Like, what took you there?
Well, funny story that you asked that. I played football in junior high. I was really little, kind of a late bloomer. And I say I played, I was on the practice field. I practiced, I didn't really play much. Going into high school, I wasn't going to play. I played baseball growing up, doing all the, little league stuff. But when it got time to be make the high school team at Kickapoo, I wasn't good enough. So me and several of the other cut victims, we had a little rec league team that we played on, and we had a blast with that. And I was just going to do those kind of things. And my sister, I have a sister that's a year older than me. And she was a swimmer, but she decided back in those days, they did a cross country camp right before season started at Kickapoo. Coach Dave Toby was the guy's name that was the men's coach. And my sister decided she was going to try cross country in the fall. The swimming for girls was in the winter back then. I think that's right. Might have been spring. I think swimming was a spring sport for girls back then. I think guys was winter, but I was in trouble. I was grounded. I had some uninvited guests. I guess they were invited by me, but my parents were out of town and had some folks over at the house. And what started out to just be a few friends ended up being a lot more, and some stuff went bad. So I was grounded with no end in sight. And my dad is saying, "Hey, you ought to go try this cross country." I'd run a 5K with him, some, company function or something when I was little. And the youthful energy of kids can just go do that. And he just thought it was the greatest, and I should go do that. I'm like, "No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that." I never even got to run track in junior high. I got one year, I got real sick, missed a month of school in 7th grade, and in 8th grade, right before track started, I had appendicitis, and missed because of that. So I hadn't got any running experience, but he kept on, and I was kind of a swindler, so I kind of cocked up the deal. I said, "All right, I'll go to this camp. I'll try this out. But if I don't like it, I'm quitting before season starts." And so he said, "All right, you do the whole week of camp in August. And if you don't like it, you can quit, but I want you to try it." Well, my sister made it to Tuesday. On Tuesday, we went running down well, it's Campbell Road now, if you know Springfield very well, down there south of Republic Road. It's kind of a big hill. It's blacktop. It wasn't nearly as busy back then, but she had enough. She tapped out. Well, I had to finish the week. So I finished the week, and at the end of the week, we had a little bit of a time trial, and I ended up, I think, ninth on the team in the time trial, and just kind of looking at it like, "Crap, well, top seven is varsity, and this is my first week of doing this." And all the guys were really nice and kind of got me involved in it. And the Coach Toby was just hilarious, super good dude, and made you feel really good about yourself. And I thought, what the heck? Maybe dad's right, which I probably never admitted, but I went ahead and did it and fell in love with it. I actually made the varsity team twice, once before an overnight trip that only varsity got to go on, and once before the state meet, and got to run in the state meet and was hooked ever since. And did it for my 4 years at Kickapoo, and ended up running at Central Missouri State for college. And I went to college. I went to Central Missouri to be a police officer. That was my whole mission in life. I didn't even think of anything else. And saw some guys graduate, weren't able to get jobs back. Believe it or not, law enforcement was a tough job to get back in those days. And so I kind of teaching was kind of a backup plan. But as I went through the practicums and the different things, I thought, well, maybe I'll just try this first. And really, coaching was what I wanted to do, and teaching was what you have to do to get along with that. So, jumped into that.
Coach Duke, that might be the best intro we have had on the podcast to the first question, because the listeners won't be able to hear it because we muted our microphones. We're dying laughing during most of that. Coach Goddard could see us. So when I became assistant AD at Jeff City, which was 4 years ago, one of the first things that I was told I needed to help with was our Jim Marshall cross country meet. So I have no experience with cross country. I was a football baseball guy. So get out to the meet, got all these teams, and I wrote down some thoughts today from what I remember, which will probably make you laugh and hopefully make the
Absolutely.
listeners laugh a little bit. So we get there and we get all set up, and the first thing I remember, I think the girls JV might have went first. I can't remember off the top of my head. But I see our trainer show up on a side by side. Boom, gun goes off, girls take off, trainer takes off after him in the mule. And I'm like, where's he going? And they said, well,
Collected
he's going to
dead.
follow him. I said, well, why is he, what are you talking about? And they said, well, the North 40's rough. And I, what do you tell, like, if you get too close to Ray's yard, is he going to open up? Like, I don't understand what's going on here. And they said, no, he'll bring back the people that are having trouble. Okay. So then, funny, it's hard for me to keep a straight face, but parents running with the kids.
Oh,
And
yeah.
these parents got no business running. Like,
Absolutely.
there's some people that are 250, 300 on a hoof trying to keep up with these high school kids, and they are falling. And I'm like, I'm gonna have to get the EMTs over here to get the parents on the stretcher because we got ACLs. Luckily, Dr. Duke's a foot and ankle surgeon in town. I can get them over there. That's what I remember with that. And then somebody runs up to me and says, we need more toilet paper.
Yeah.
Why? We have five porta potties out here. Oh no, we need way more toilet paper. So I'm trying to find somebody to go buy toilet paper. And then I got told to come over to the catch tunnel, which I know what it is now. And they said, you need to put on gloves and you need to stand in here and you need to catch people. I'm like, catch them doing what? And they said, well, they're going to collapse when they come in here. And I'm like, okay. And they said, well, just drag them over to the trainer. And they're like, oh yeah, and if they fall before they get here, don't touch them. Like they'll crawl to the finish line. I'm like, is this legal? You know,
Yeah.
this just doesn't make sense. And then I'll bleep out this word I'm about to say on the podcast, but I'll never forget. There was one kid, he comes in and he kind of falls. And I go, you all right? And he goes, no. He just collapsed. And I'll bleep it out and pick him up, carry him over to the trainer. So here's my question. What on God's earth would possess a person to want to put their body through this?
Well, I tell you, it's just like every sport, you know, that it has its challenges, and the tough part, and the thing that I respect and like the most about cross country is it's like putting your hand over the flame of a candle and just playing that game of who can leave their hand there the longest and just sit in that burn. And that's the getting comfortable being uncomfortable is what cross country is. The minute the race starts, people say, you know, how do you not get tired? And it's like, you know, we get tired just like everyone else. It's just we have trained ourselves to not freak out and not have to stop when we're tired. And If I go play basketball, that's totally different. You know, that sprinting up and down, starting and stopping, I'm tired. And I'll be bent over and somebody look at me and say, you're not supposed to get tired. You know, you're cross country. And I say, well, I'm still tired. It's just, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to have to go sit down. I'm still going to bend over and suck air and wish that I wasn't out here. But I've taught myself to deal with that. And, you know, it's the same deal. You look at football, and I mean, you have to be willing to run across the middle and get your head taken off by somebody. We all watch that, love it as fans. That's a different kind of, you know, toughness that you have to experience as well. And, you know, I coached Little League with my kids growing up, and you coach baseball long enough, you've got those kids that will not stand in the batter's box. They're just so afraid of that ball, or will not stand in front of that ground ball. And, you know, it at some point in your life playing baseball, you had to make a decision like, yeah, that ball may hit me, but I'm going to stand in here and face it. And, you know, you just learn that skill, I guess, of just enduring that kind of thing. And that's kind of what celebrated is how far can you go? And really, you said JV girls, and it's girls that are absolutely amazing. And I know that women are just naturally and have to be with the childbearing experience tougher than men. Men are show tough. We want to show tough. We want to say tough. We want to act tough. Man, the girls, when they're bought in, man, they go until they absolutely cannot. And I've watched girls that, you know, when state used to be in Jeff City, you finished up a hill. And that Jim Marshall course is tough. It's one of the toughest in the state. I've run it and know what it's about. Know Jim very well and know what he was about. But that state course, man, you're running the state meet, you're giving everything you got, and then you had to finish up this hill. And I've seen girls, a girl go down, and the girl behind her is just too tired to go around or step over and just goes down on top. I've seen 3-4 girls pile up just because they could not get around the carnage. And they're crawling, and, I mean, it's almost brings tears to your eyes, just like, are you serious? You know, and they're still fighting, man, to get there. They lose 100 spots, but they're going to fight to get there. Man, it's admirable to watch that and see kids sacrifice like that.
Yeah, girls are tougher. In my profession, so JR said I'm a foot and ankle surgeon, and one of the things I have to do is I have to numb people up. I have to give them a shot and numb up toes and feet and stuff like that. And I will tell you, without question or hesitation, 8-year-old girls are the toughest.
Yeah.
They don't flinch. They don't move. I'm not worried about it. If I get like a mid-40s dude in there, away. But I'll tell you, like, if I get a guy in his like 20s or 30s, I think he's passing out. Like, I gotta have my medical assistant hold his hand because he's like, oh my God, he's screaming.
Now, if you put him on social media and you make him do that, he'd show tough. You know, that's the difference. Guys and girls, girls will be tough. Guys want to show tough. If they ain't got no show, then there's no reason to be tough here.
Pretty much, yeah. Coach, I did all of my residency training in Chicago for medicine, and I have never seen more people running on a daily basis than living in Chicago on Lakeshore Drive. Every day, there are people running, marathoners.
Mm-hmm.
And their rule, come to find out, was they would run at a pace where they could hold a conversation.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I was so interested to find out that while they're training for a marathon, they never run a marathon. They never run that entire length. There's always a part that is left off to become the mental part of it. Like, can I get this last 5 or 6? Where does that come in cross country in basically these sprint races? Is it that person who falls in front of you like you were talking, or is it just the entire race? What is it?
Well, I think difference with marathon training, and it's just such a 26 miles is it's a lot. It's a lot on your body. So your mentality changes even as you run in high school. You run in high school, and you know, to you guys, I say 2 miles, and to a normal human, you talk about 2 miles, and people are like, "Holy cow, two, you know, it's 2 miles." And to us, like, that's a warm up. Like, I've run 3 miles in my cowboy boots, just because I don't like to walk. I like, this is going to take forever, and I had to walk for whatever reason, and screw it, I'm just going to run. It's just 3 miles. So as a marathoner, you know, you get to 20, some will go to 22. They're looking at it going, it's just 4 miles. I don't need to do it. It's going to suck whether I've done it before or not. That last 4 miles, no matter how good a shape you're in, is just an effort and an activity of pain tolerance and pain management. And there's no reason to experience it over and over again. For us with 5K training, with high school running, track now, mile, 2 mile training, you know, I have kind of a hard line at 12 miles. Now, occasionally I'll let the kids do a half marathon if it's in off season or something like that. But there's not really any reason to go more than 12 miles training for a 5K. But a majority of our year running, and that's the difference. I mean, running is a year-long activity. Those that are going to be good at it, they do it all the year long. We meet at Kickapoo every morning at 6 a.m., 6:30 now that we're back to our starting time up. And we meet every afternoon, and we meet over Christmas break, and we'll meet over spring break, and we meet every day. Every day I'm at Kickapoo 5 to 6 days a week. And a lot of my kids, the ones that are serious, they'll run twice a day during school all year long. We'll have state on Saturday, and they'll be in Monday morning. If I'm not there to open the doors, they'll stand outside, wait for me. It's just what you do. It's what you do to feel good. You know, it's some guys are weightlifters, and you know, you just don't feel right if you don't go get your workout in. And that's kind of what running becomes. And every other athlete that gets into running, they just do it different. They get in and they want to go see how fast they can go for this 3 miles. They're going to run their 3 mile. They want to put the watch on it and stop the watch when they're done and be like, yes, I was faster than yesterday. And for us, it's just about the mileage. And that's what makes it. People say, running isn't fun. Well, it's not the running that's fun. It's your friends. And what other, you know, you go to your baseball practice or your football practice, and what are coaches always saying? Be quiet, listen, pay attention. Cross country practices, go talk, have fun, joke, make fun of each other. You know, you go out for 45 minutes, you're just out there making fun of each other and laughing and telling stories and, you know, and just talking about anything and everything to keep your mind off what you're feeling. And then, you know, there's days when we're doing workouts and where things are serious and you're not talking and you're pushing your body to learn those lines in there to know how fast you can go and to push that ability to go faster. But for the most part, except for once or twice a week, we're just out talking and having fun and, you know, joking around and getting to know each other and laughing at each other's failures and finding bathrooms. Nobody respects bathrooms like cross country runners. It's funny that the story you remember has to do with toilet paper, because that is the biggest issue on running is I got to go and I got to go right now. And we got to find a place to get this done.
this past fall, we have office aides during the day. And one of our office aides was arguably our best girl cross country runner this year. And having her in there, it was interesting because I was able to quiz her a little bit on things. And I'd say, well, can you actually hear anybody when you're running? And she's like, well, I recognize my parents' voices. And she kind of described, like, she'll get in this tunnel vision and it's just like noise to her. And I love riding my bicycle. I'll ride 3,000, 3,500 miles a year. And like you were talking about, you just get to where you don't experience pain. You get in that zone, you can taste the blood in your mouth and you just go. And when you're off the bike, you're like, oh my gosh, what the heck did I just do to myself? You know, and elite athletes, it just seems like they're able to block all of that out. And it seems to me that the high school level, just a little bit of experience I've got with it, it takes all different types to I guess there's no prototypical body type or height or anything to a great cross country runner. But from your perspective of having been in it so long, what are the great qualities of a great runner?
I think the biggest deal is just work ethic. I mean, the work ethic, if you have that, you're going to be successful, no matter what your talent level. If you don't have that, There's been some guys that are just so talented. Some girls are just so talented. Even though they don't work hard, they can still go out and be successful. But those are few and far between. But I mean, I've had every type. I had a young man that I still communicate with. A guy, he's got to be in his mid 20s, maybe late 20s by now, and still hang out with him a little bit. But he was 5'2". As a freshman, we maybe had 35 guys on the team, and he was probably 30th, you know, in the first few races of his freshman year. And just the work ethic, you know, he just decided, I want to be good at this. And I don't know that he ever decided then that he wanted to be as good as he got, but it's easy. You want to be a good runner. Like, I don't need you to pick up any skills. You know, we don't have to do ball skills, or you just got to run and go run more. And the more you run, the faster you'll run. And he definitely didn't have any physical advantages being 5'2", you know, but he ran, and he ran so much. He actually ran so much the winter of his freshman year. I kept telling him, like, dude, you can't run with these guys every day. It's just too hard on your body. They're juniors and seniors, and they're going too far for you right now. And like, got to be careful. And he just kept pushing it and ended up with a stress fracture and missed track that year because he ran too much. But by his sophomore year, he's pushing to make that varsity team. By his junior year, he's all state. And his senior year, he's top seven in the state. End up going running eventually at Central Missouri also, and was one of their top guys and one of their captains on the team. And it's just, guy had no physical talents ever, never run in his life, but just decided, I'm willing to do the work to be good at this sport, to put in the time and just log the miles. And I've had several guys like that. And then you have a few that come in and they're talented. They don't like to work. They'll do what you make them do. But then when November comes and season's over, they want to go do this or they want to go do that. And they'll stay good. And just being guys, they'll get a little better, but they never make, you know, that top 25 at the state meet, class five, that you want to be all state. I mean, you got to sell yourself to it. I mean, it's competitive. And there's enough dudes doing it that you've got to really sell yourself to it. And those guys that they have all the talent and the cool guys and the popular guy, you know, they don't seem to do as well because it's about looks. It's not about the grind. And you find that kid that is talented that will also come in and do the work. And now you got something special. And that's typically what leads to those great teams that go on and, you know, cause they'll be the leaders are also putting in the work. You know, they'll go on and lead, and then you'll have a group go with them, and that's all it takes.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. JR, one thing you don't know about – I do have another question, but one thing you don't know about me, JR, is there was a time when I was running a lot. in Wardsville at the time, and I was running, and I was running a lot. My wife and I went on vacation. While we're on vacation – the weather's bad, but they got a treadmill in this place we're staying. And every day I'm running a 5K. Every day, right? I mean, so much so that I've got even like my compression socks on when I'm running. It's a whole deal, right? I don't care how I look. I just enjoyed the run and I wanted to get it in. And in my profession, running is really an addiction. I see a lot of people with running injuries because the endorphins that get released, it's different to them and they have to run. You know, but I was running a lot. And one day I'm running on the treadmill and I'm like 5 minutes into my 5K and I'm telling you, I am getting my ass kicked. And I'm like, what is going on? Like I finished my 3.2 or whatever it is. And I'm flop sweat. I'm like, man, is my nutrition off? What's going on? I see somebody later that night who we've been having dinner with. They go, were you on the treadmill earlier? I go, yeah. They go, do you know the incline you had it set at? It was one of those that didn't go up, just the resistance change for to give you. I basically had the incline set like I was running like this. And I thought, man, I really suck at this. Like I need to find something different.
But I was tough day.
Yeah, it was a tough day. Coach, when you when you're doing this, right? I mean, there's a lot of people in social media now that are big into running. David Goggins is one of those guys. He's like, I'm going to go run 40 miles, right?
Right.
When you're into this, right, and you've got somebody that's going to the state meet and doing whatnot, how much do you have to focus, like you talked about, on mental mindset? Because you're racing people you've seen all year, right?
Right.
I mean, how much do you have to talk about that other than just running? Is it get rid of that and talk about running? Or is it strictly, hey, man, you've been running 12 miles. Just go get it. We got you at the end. What is it that you think you guys try and focus on as much or more than running?
I would say the mental aspect of running is, you know, and I haven't done high school, any other sports in high school, but running stuff. But I would say the mental aspect is equal to, if not greater than any other sport. The hardest part about cross country running is all you have to do is slow down to make the pain go away. All you have to do to feel better is slow down. And that is the last thing that you want to do. And that's the last thing that you're trying to do. But you have to learn to take your body to places where it doesn't want to go. And your brain is designed to keep you safe. You know, your brain is designed when you feel heat, pull your finger away. When, you know, the reason you have fear is to keep you from doing some things. And the reason teenage boys get sometimes in trouble is because their fear meter doesn't quite register like it should. And you guys are old enough now that we used to do some things that we don't do anymore. And it's because that looks like that might die, you know, and before it was like, I'd be fine, you know? We have to talk about it constantly about how your brain's going to say, hey, you can't make this. And you have to learn to what I say to kids all the time is you have to learn to talk to yourself to keep you from listening to yourself. Because if you're out there listening, you said it yourself, you're on the treadmill and you're saying, what's my problem? Is this wrong? Is that wrong? Your brain is just sitting there making 50 excuses for you to not be successful. Yeah. And you have to, your brain tells you, you can't make it. You can't make it. You can't make it. And you have to learn to tell yourself like, all right, I know you think I can't make it, but watch me. I'm going to go make it. I'm going to finish. And I tell the kids when they start asking those questions, can you make it to the I'm going to just start answering yourself. Yeah, we're going to make it. Shut up and listen, you know, and you got to learn to have those conversations. So, yeah, we talk about that daily. Every time we get ready to go out for a hard workout, I try to explain to the kids, you know, what they're about to experience and what's the purpose. You know, why are we out here experiencing this and what is this going to do for you in your races? What, you know, we're working on this and this is going to help you change gears on those last track season now. So the name of track season is being able to hang in there and then change gears when it's necessary to make that move, to match a move or to add a move to someone else. And you have to be able to do that and you have to experience it and understand the pain that is coming so that when you're in that moment and your brain's saying, hey, we can't make this. You got something to fall back on. Hey, we made it the other day. Hey, we'll be fine. You know, and if you collapse, you have to, it's just like anything else, short memory on that. Hey, I didn't make it that time, but I'm going to make it next time. And you got to be dumb enough to believe that. And I tell kids all the time, a lot of times cross country runners are the smartest kids in the school. Also, it just seems to work out that way that always have really intelligent people. And I always tell them the dumber kids are easier to coach than smart kids because smart kids start figuring out like, wait a minute, like what? Like I might throw up and I think that's a good thing. And yeah. Kids, it's funny that when they start, you know, I've had some girls that they'll stop and what are you doing? Why'd you stop? I threw up. All right. Wipe your mouth and let's go. But coach, I threw up. Good. It's gone now. Let's we're not done. Like just cause we throw up, it's not a pass. Like we don't get out. Yeah. Just keep going, wipe your mouth and let's roll.
Nice. I like it. I like it.
They eventually learn it. And yeah, I mean, that mentality thing is that is it is I can endure it. I will endure it. I'm capable of enduring it. And you just have to learn to, and you talked about, I mean, runners, it's people would never guess it, but the number one, you ask your trainer, what's the number one sport for injuries? And it's not football. It's not basketball. It's running. You are going to get injured. And we do have a tendency to get a little bit obsessive, compulsive. And we do. And it's the biggest thing with my girls. You talk about girls being tougher and like, coach, my knee's hurting really bad or my shin's hurting really bad. I was like, okay, you know, when did it start? 2 weeks ago. I'm like, well, mm-hmm. Or they'll come in after an 8-mile run and be like, coach, my knee's hurting real bad. I'm like, okay, just start today. No, it was last Friday. I'm like, well, why didn't you tell me that before I sent you out on an 8-mile run? Like, we could be a little smarter with this. We could have backed you off, could have put you on a bike, but, you know, we end up causing more problems than we need to because – we spend all this time be tough. And then it's like also, okay, be smart. If something's hurt, you got to find that line between injured and hurt. And that's the balance.
There are only – runners are a close second in obstinance to parents of youth athletes in baseball, AAU basketball, or gymnastics.
Yeah, I would agree.
Like, well, what do you mean they can't play? We have a trip scheduled. And I'm like, well, their foot is broke. You want to put her on a balance beam? Go ahead. You want to make, you know, play tennis or go play 8 games of basketball on a Saturday because you got invited to something? I guess go ahead. I won't yell at you, but I'm going to keep charging you every time.
Yeah, I'm going to keep making money off of you.
Keep making money, so go ahead, please.
Yeah.
JR, it's that time. It's not the 2-minute drill today, though. It's the catch tunnel.
Yes, sir.
It's the catch tunnel. You got some – have you found some music yet?
You know what? I'm, like, scared of copyright law. So unless we can get, a music artist on to maybe compose an original. Or I'll find, like, some more royalty-free music. But we do need, like, a little catchy tune for going into our 2-minute catch tunnel drill. So,
all right, Coach. We each have 4 or 5 questions. They're kind of weird, kind of crazy. If you answer them all, you can ask JR and I a question if you want. But if you don't get through them, you can't say pass. Well, if you say pass, then you don't get through them, right? I mean, don't say pass. You're a runner. You just talked about mindset. If you say pass,
we gotta get through it. Find a
way. We're not even gonna publish this entire podcast because it's not gonna be worth it. Okay, JR, get us kicked off.
All right, Coach. Do you like hot weather or cold weather?
That depends. If I'm running cold, man, I love running in the cold. I'm too heavy to run in the heat. But every other time, I like the hot weather. I like fishing. I like going to the lake.
Nice. You just finished a training session. You finished one of those 12-mile runs. What food are you going to eat most often after one of those long sessions?
Depends if my wife's with me or not. But, man, after a long run, there's nothing better than going up to this little diner called Cedars here in Springfield. It gets you some chicken fried steak and some Cedars hash browns and some, man, that. But if my wife's with me, I might have to go home and eat toast or something. She she gets after me about the money.
So if you had your choice on the way to Cedars, you driving a sports car or an SUV?
Never had anything but a pickup truck my whole life. So I'd love to have a sports car if it was like a second ride, you know, but I couldn't. I don't like being down low. I hate when I can't see up over things. So I started out in a 89 Chevy S10 that didn't have power or anything. I could get it on some of the hills between here and Branson up to about 70, but it rattled like the doors were going to come off. And you thought, man, we're flying now. We're about to lose pieces of the car. And started with there and just been upgrading since. So I would have to say a pickup.
There you go.
Perfect.
While you're running, listening to music? And if so, what kind?
If I was listening to music, it'd be country music. I like all kinds, but that my favorite tends to be country music. But I don't let kids listen to music while they run. They're there to enjoy each other. It's just been something that – the other thing is I like to sing along, and then I get all out of breath, and I'm trying to sing. And now when I get on, I have to do some kind of a treadmill run for lightning for whatever reason, I will let myself listen to it then, because I can't stand being on a treadmill, the boredom. And so I will listen to it then. It's typically country.
So are you an early morning person or a stay up late person?
I am an early morning person, been that way. I think John Ewing was my coach my junior and senior year in high school, and he's the one that brought morning practices into us and 6 a.m. practices, and I've been doing that ever since. I used to hit snooze a lot, and I learned my junior year, like, rather than waking up 7 times, I'm just going to set my alarm to the last minute and then be emergency status. So I would learn to just pop out of bed and go, man, and that's – my alarm doesn't even go off anymore. I get up at 5 a.m. every morning, and it most of the time doesn't go off. I'm up and turned it off, and I'm pretty good for the morning session. And then by 9 o'clock, I'm ready to tap out.
There you go. Love it. Coach, what's the last TV series you binged watched?
I think the last one was what's the Montana one? Ranch.
Yellowstone
was probably the last one my wife and I watched, but we really like we're waiting for spring break here this coming week, and we're going to binge watch the last season of Ted Lasso.
Oh, that's a good one.
We got big into that, and haven't watched the last season yet, but we decided when we have some time we'll sit down and hammer that out.
Highly recommended. All right, last question, Coach. We've had some very interesting answers on this one since it came out of my brain somehow. You've got to pull off a museum heist, and you've got 3 people that you can take with you. Who are you taking, and why are they going with you?
All right. We're stealing something, so we're going to need somebody with some agility. Probably take, I don't know, maybe Coach Hauser. He can do 100 pull-ups in a row, so he could probably pull us up, and stronger than a horse. So he can pull us up, get us through some tight spots, around some corners. And let the cat out of the bag, but the guy I'm going to refer you to next is Greg Dixon out at West Plains. And he's been a baseball coach and a football coach. He ran cross country. Now he's a track coach. Guy knows a little bit about everything. He's a class A redneck, so he can fix anything. He can jerry rig anything. Give him some baling wire and some duct tape, and he'd create anything. So we'll have to have him to fix any things that goes around. And then the last guy would be a guy named David Chatlos, who's the head track coach and head cross country coach up at at Liberty North. And I'll just tell you this. Greg says about Chatlos that he could slip in a pile of cow manure and land in a pot of gold. So we got to have a little luck on our side. So we'll take Chatlos along for that, so that if we do screw up, we end up in the pot of gold.
Fantastic.
Sound like a dream team?
Yeah, that sounds perfect. That sounds perfect. Incredible. Great job on the catch tunnel, Coach. Is there, if you want, you don't have to, but if you want, you're welcome to ask us any questions and put us on the spot, just like we did to you for the last 25 minutes or so.
Well, how'd you guys get involved in this podcast game, and has it been everything that you had hoped you would find and more?
I will tell you, it's been more.
Yeah.
And from the way JR started today, you know, we got to go see a guy who was on the podcast, Coach Delano, won multiple state titles in, you know, his home state there in Jersey and stuff. And just a tremendous guy, a guy who's at a school that has, I don't know, JR, 100 and something years of football history or something.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, who also coaches baseball. We've talked to people from coast to coast. We've talked to people that we probably don't deserve to talk to be honest with you. And I think the thing that it solidifies is something that you mentioned. You want them to go talk to their friends, right? And everybody in the coaching industry has been incredibly gracious with their time and talking about things and teaching JR and I some things, to be honest with you. and it has been more than we could have hoped for. We don't have any sponsors. We don't make any money on this. We just kind of do it, you know. I would say it's been incredible, and it was a wacky idea that we both said, "What the hell? Let's do it." And it's something I look forward to.
Now, you guys buddies before this started? How did you get together?
We coached together football.
Okay.
When did we meet? Oh, when did we meet? Yeah, somewhere around in there. Yeah. And we just kind of get along. I think we're two peas in a pod half the time. And then said start the podcast. But it's amazing. I was thinking when you were talking, Coach Duke, how many times I reference just in conversation with people we've had on the podcast, things I've learned on the podcast, you know, kind of like going down and meeting Frank the other day. And it was so funny, Coach Goddard, because we're cruising through the Hilton Ballpark Hotel trying to figure out what room he's in, because we're going to go track to the end of his kind of the end of his last talk. And we finally find the room, and Bill goes, "Well, let's just go in." He opens the door, and Frank spins around, and he goes, "Dude!" And you know, everybody in there, it's like 100 people are looking back at us. They don't know who we are. Right. We just sit down, and I mean, it was so funny, just him reacting like that. And we had never met him, you know, and then hanging out the rest of the afternoon. The podcast has been, it's been awesome. It's been a great thing.
That's neat.
It has been. Well, you know, we talked about tag, and you kind of already hinted on it. So we're gonna get this guy who can solve all problems, JR.
Absolutely. I don't know if you've been around Frank Licklider long enough, and you've heard of Joe Bill Dixon, was legendary coach. For my money, the best coach in Missouri history. I mean, he's guy won somewhere 18 titles. I think West Plains in something like 40 years of cross country running has never failed to make the boys team to state meet. I think in I don't know the number of years. I bet Greg could probably rattle that off. But so his dad, legendary guy, and being a cross country guy, I, you know, worshipped him as a young man and a young athlete, and got to go to his camp and meet him and actually grow a very good relationship with Joe Bill and through the camp. And Greg would be a guy that, so Greg's 2 years, year or two older than me. We ran against each other in high school. He was better than me. I do think I beat him at one particular meet. We always fight about it. We always ended up with one race that I beat him at the state meet. But every other time they whipped us real good. But, you know, I get to know him. He was a football coach. So he would show up when Joe Bill needed something fixed or something, you know, broke or kill a snake or something. You know, we were out in the woods and copperheads were everywhere. So about half the time I'd see Greg, he'd be holding a shotgun, blasting the copperhead out of a porta potty or something. Got to know Greg through that, and as his dad aged and couldn't be around the camp as much anymore, Greg kind of took it over. We got to be good friends and put our families together on a couple vacations, and our wives hit it off real good. But just a great guy. But yeah, we watched some serious adventures with him blowing tires and fixing this and fixing that, and it's just good wholesome redneck stuff that the guy can come up with and figure out. But as far as coaching goes, he ran cross country and track in high school, played basketball, I believe, in between, ended up coaching baseball, was very successful West Plains baseball coach for a lot of years, as his dad aged and he went drop baseball and ended up becoming assistant track coach, working with and helping his dad out, and eventually took the head program there and has won conference championships and state trophies as a track coach. And he's West Plains defensive coordinator the last few years, and they've done conference championships with that. And guy could coach whatever sport, you know, he was put in and do a dang good job. His daughters played basketball or softball, and he'll coach them, you know, as they grew up, and just a wealth of knowledge of whatever sport you'd want to talk about. So he'd be a good candidate to do this. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Coach.
I haven't told him it's coming yet, but I will. I'll text him and tell him.
Well, that's the best kind. That's
yes.
We really appreciate your time tonight, taking you away from your family. And, you know, I don't know. You got to go to bed here soon. You got to be
Absolutely.
Up.
It's getting there.
You got to be up a little bit. We certainly appreciate your time. Thank you so much for entertaining a crazy text message out of nowhere for involved with this. We wish you the best with your seasons. And if there's anything we can ever do for you, please let us know.
Well, Coach Thomas told me we gotta meet JR up there for some parking passes or something. So
I'll tell you what, if anybody from Mesa listens, they ain't going to be happy, but y'all got my number. I'll hook you up with some parking at State Track.
Hopefully we got some athletes up there. That's a meet I won't miss, just if not anything for the pork steaks. But
oh man, yeah, those guys cooking those pork steaks, that
they go away. I may not come anymore, but
yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah,
well, JR, it's been another great one. I love it. I got to give a shout out to the Tipton Lady Cardinals, finishing third.
Yes, you do.
Basketball, won it last year. Third and state this year, JR, they got two seniors on that basketball team.
They're good.
A lot of young ones are doing some great things with Coach Culpepper and Coach Lopshauser and Coach Getting and stuff. They're doing some great job. But for process, preparation, and performance, I'm Duke. He's Simmons. Coach Goddard, thank you very much. God bless. Peace out.